The Between Dreams podcast is a weekly show bringing you the most interesting, inspiring, intriguing, motivating stories from the most amazing people that I can find. It's a show that you happen to be listening to right now. Hey, I'm Chris Ruggiero. I'm the host. I travel around the world and meet incredible people. I'm bringing their stories to you in hopes that you will be inspired and motivated to get out there and make something awesome for yourself. This week's guest is Michael Rayner. He's coming up in just a few minutes. He's an entertainer who is amazing. Everyone that I've ever talked to that sees him perform live is just blown away. And even more important than that, he's a really nice guy, and he's really helped me out on a lot of things in just chatting ideas, and he's been a bit of a mentor even to me, and I really appreciate that, and so thankful that he's shared so much amazing knowledge and wisdom and thoughts and tips with us. You'll get a lot out of it, even if you don't want to spin a cheeseburger on an umbrella or balance a wheelbarrow on your face, which are things that he does, by the way. We've got a couple cool things happening in the Between Dreams podcast world, and what we need from you is your help. We need your help if you want to share the podcast with somebody who you think will get some value from it. That's tremendously helpful, and we really appreciate that. If you want to actually help make the show happen, we just launched our new Patreon page where you get bonus features. You get bonus content from every guest. Every week we have the main interview, which is what you're about to hear, and then there'll be an extended conversation, which is only available over at Patreon. For just a couple bucks a month, you can get bonus content from every guest, and that is amazing because it actually helps pay the cost to produce this show, and you will be helping to make it happen. If you like this style, motivational, make stuff happen, you might consider picking up my book. It's called Just Go. If you go to Amazon, you can type in Just Go or my name, Chris Ruggiero. You'll see it pop up. It's stories of me traveling around the world and making things happen, and some thoughts on how you can maybe do the same. Finally, if you like what we are doing, the final way to support the show is go on over to BetweenDreamsClothing.com, check it out, grab a shirt, and that, again, helps support it. Everything that we make from the podcast or the books or the clothing goes directly back into making more content so that you can enjoy it. So thank you so much for considering helping out and doing that. And if you can't do any of those, tell a friend about the podcast. That's super helpful too. And leave a rating and review on iTunes or podcast app, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Do that. Okay, let's get into it. Here is Michael Rayner.
That's right. I've been here before, but now we've got the video set up. We're expanding our reach with our faces.
Our faces are
and
here.
Our voices.
If you are listening on just audio, you can listen on video now. And watch on video. Or put the video on and just listen to the audio in the background.
Correct. That is all the ways you could do it.
Efficient.
Or if you are deaf, you can just watch us and read our lips.
A lot of the people who are listening are people who want to do something or do something in the creative world. And I talk to so many people all the time and they're like, I don't know where... how do you do that? How do you start? You know, it's like a scary thing to start to be, try to be a full-time creative person. And what we were talking about just before we started recording is that there's a lot of assumptions that we make in everything that we do. And oftentimes, most oftentimes, those assumptions are on the negative end.
Well, we're going to assume that the venue's bad or the money's bad or the gig's going to be bad. You know, and those are the bad assumptions because, well, and as we find out, a lot of times when people offer you money, it's not as much as we would like. And so we have to always assume it's going to be good money and then we can get the good money.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's going in a more broad sense as well. Like the assumptions are almost we naturally, I was reading this in something just I forget which book it was in, but I was reading this thing and it's like our subconscious automatically goes to those negative things because it's just like wired into us to like look for problems so that we don't like die from you know, the problem that's going to come after us from like years of.
It seems like probably evolutionary theory is like, you know, if you go from point A to point B, there's going to be many things that are going to try to kill you.
Yeah.
So then you're like, I don't know if I want to go to point B. Something's going to kill me. I think I'm just going to stay in A.
Yeah.
I don't want to try to get to B. But then you know something's going to try to kill you, and you go carefully to B, and you can still do it.
Yes. And so kicking back into that idea of the initial thing of the assumptions, if we simply change the assumptions or pretend, even sometimes that's hard to say, oh, just change what you're assuming. I think there's a thing of which is like we can just pretend, like act as if almost. There's something like that of like, and we were just talking about this before in specific examples, which we won't go quite that deep into it, but like, you know, oh, I'm assuming that this thing isn't going to work out because in the past this happened. And then correct. So we just change it so that we say, and in the future, maybe that assumption isn't correct. And then it's changed.
Well, and now let's get to specifics. I think so many people are in the Midwest or are there in tons of places and they love to live in Hollywood, New York, Atlanta, maybe an amazing city. And they've learned to be a ventriloquist or a magician or a mime or whatever it might be. And they're like, oh, I can't leave my town because there's all these good people in those towns. I'm from a small town in Michigan. I've lived in LA now for like 25 years or something like that. I don't know, whatever. Maybe even more. Maybe it's even more than that. I'm not sure exactly. And we were zero. We were nobody, me and the wife. You know, I know a lot of the performers, they came from small towns. We got through the assumption that there we wouldn't be able to make a living here in LA.
Yeah.
We just said, we're going to go and well, once we get there, we will battle whatever tigers are out there and make it work.
Yeah.
So that's the thing you got to get over is the thought that I cannot leave my stationary static position, that you can get up and leave. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. There's going to be pitfalls. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times of no money. And then there will be times of money also if you keep on going forward.
Yeah. And a lot of this comes, a lot of these struggles do seem to be around like, oh, I can't, how am I going to afford to live in the city or something like that? And I've said this before. I remember somebody told me when I was living back at Pennsylvania, at my parents' place, I was like touring around doing big shows. And then I was still living at my parents' place. And, I was talking to somebody who lived in Brooklyn and I was like, I want to move to New York City. But I was like, I don't know where I'm going to come up with like whatever it costs to rent a place in Brooklyn or New York City or whatever. I was like, I can't afford to live in New York City. And she said the most simple thing. She was like, because you can't afford to live in New York City because you don't live in New York City. And it was such it's resonated with me for so long because I did the same thing. I like moved to LA and I was like, I have no idea. People are like, oh, you got a gig? I was like, No. I was supposed to do that first. I was supposed to have a job here first, and I had nothing.
Like, I want to get into real specifics now, Chris. Here's how we're going to do this. When the wife and I moved to LA, we not only didn't have gigs, we had about $38,000-$40,000 in debt. Now, if you're not familiar with debt, that is money that needs to be paid back to other people. Usually their names are Master and Card or Visa and sometimes Discover, which is not as popular anymore. And we had to pay that back. We still, through sheer energy and willpower, decided, yes, let us move there now. Because we had zero to lose. In fact, we had negative $38,000 to lose. So we didn't even have a nest egg. Like people come to LA because they said, oh, well, we've got to save a lot of money to move there. So we just moved and got an apartment. And then we just started working. We just started looking anywhere and anything we could do in our fields, finding me looking for every kind of talent show that would maybe pay me $50. The wife getting agents for voiceover and acting and performing. And we knew, well, this is going to be, we're going to keep on going to like 40,000 in debt, maybe 42,000 in debt. And then I started getting commercials. So we made that initial fearful step.
Yeah.
While in debt, you know, living as if we were not in debt, meaning no money was coming in for several months when we got here. And then I booked a TV commercial and then that started paying money. the wife started booking voiceover things, and now we've been here, what is it, 25 some years, two kids, a house, two cars, and we still, no debt right now, but we have college to pay for, and so I'm making an assumption, how am I going to do this? I'm not going to be able to make. I'm not going to be able to make that college money. Yeah. I'm making an assumption already that how am I going to make the extra $30,000 that I need to make for college? Well, remember, I came to LA with $38,000 in debt.
Yeah.
Why am I doubting myself again?
Right. So let's go. We'll come back to that point in a second, but I want to go back to maybe that initial thing of there is a very intentional moment of that, because there was probably like you're somewhere else, and you're like, oh, we know we need to be in LA because that's what's going to make it happen. But there's a lot of people who say, models, photographers, performers who say, who are in Michigan or Ohio or Pennsylvania or Alabama, who say, oh, I know I need to be in LA, and then they never make it. So there's a very distinct moment that happens when you like you have to like pack up a car and start driving, which just feels like an insane thing because people are like, well, next year I'll do it when I have $5,000 more, I'll do it. And I did the same thing. I like paid $1,500 or something to get one of those like pod things and like stuffed it full of all of my stuff. And I was like, I don't really have like that's a lot of money.
Sure.
You know, it is like that's like a. When you're doing juggling shows in Pennsylvania, yeah. that turns into a lot of money. It's like, I'm going to drive across the country. I'm going to put a deposit on an apartment, do all these things that were really hard. For me, they were really hard, but I just like got, I think it got to the same point where I was like, well, I almost have nothing to lose. I know I'm at a dead end in Pennsylvania, so sure. Just jump in and make it happen. How did that work for you? What was the thing like? Was it that you were just we just need to do
there
something?
There is there was a slight paradox where when we were in Orlando. This is where we were before. We were doing shows in Orlando. I was working, you know, at one time I did my show at Universal Studios Florida. Then I started working doing some actually TV writing and production for Nickelodeon, but those are always contract to contract where you're on a show for 10, 15 weeks and it's over, you get on another show. And then so then we decide to tour Canada with a show that we wrote, the wife and I wrote, in the Fringe Festival. And then when that was done, we were just driving down to LA to see friends, and we were sleeping on their floor in their one bedroom apartment. And we had no other place to go. And so we could have figured out, well, we could go back to Orlando where my wife had family, or back to Michigan where I had family. But we were here. You know, this is the thing. We didn't have to pack up anything because we already had the initial, we're touring with a show. You know what I mean? But we still had to go back and get a car and move everything else out and decide we're going to set up shop here in LA, you know. As newcomers without really any, zero gigs, zero clients, you know, no one knowing anything about us. So I think that was a little bit of a help that I think we were already on the road through Canada, then drove down the coast, got here to LA, slept on a floor, and then we're like, yeah, let's stay. And we were living on a floor.
Yeah.
We were living on a floor, and as a name dropper, we were living on the floor of D. Baker, which is Olmec from Legends of the Hidden Temple, but also he's now King Voiceover. And this is, remember, D. Baker, who at one time had a terrible one-bedroom apartment with his wife in Sherman Oaks, California, who now is like Klaus on American Dad. He's he's on a ton of things, but he was only... a year ahead of us in his career
right.
arc in LA. And he did the same thing. He packed him and his wife up, got to LA. They had nobody. His wife just worked at a temp job while he tried to be a voiceover artist, making no money until all of a sudden, slow and steady. And if you look at any video games or creature voices, D. Bradley Baker's the guy.
So there's two things in here, and it was way back earlier when you said when you moved and you got here and you had the kind of massive amount of negative money, and
it's called debt.
It's called debt. Yeah. I was avoiding it.
No, we gotta call it
attack.
It's debt. There's negative money. What are we, imaginary numbers now? Is this the imaginary number podcast, a video cast? Welcome to imaginary numbers.
featuring Variety Acts of LA. Right. So you said you have this debt, but you acted as if you didn't. You said, oh, it's okay. We're just going to keep
Well, this is
going.
Most entrepreneurs think about this. You know, think about every company. It's not until recently that Amazon's even making money. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Tesla is on the brink always of folding. But there's a vision that we're going towards something in the end. And the wife and I had a vision. And I think this goes to the assumption, the positive assumptions you can have. We can always give ourselves negative assumptions, but we had value in our talent and we worked hard at our talent also. I'm always practicing. If you go to Broken Juggler on Instagram, you'll see me. I'm always at the gym trying to figure out stuff. And the wife was always figuring out, you know, voiceover and writing and different things that she does. We knew that was equity. Our talent was our equity. So a lot of people have a college degree and other things that are their equity. Our talent was our equity, and it worked out because you have to be somewhat arrogant in your assumptions also. There's two assumptions. One, I'm great. I can be here. And then there's the negative assumptions like, take whatever people want to give you for money or right. whatever the deal is when they call you up to book you on something, and you have the right to say no, and they can come back to you, or maybe they just want to get somebody. I often will do this. This is a sort of a, we're going to go down a side path. If somebody says, hey, I want you to come juggle for an hour for $100. And I'll say, well, listen, I can't do that for that amount of money, but I know some lesser performers that are just starting out that would be happy to do that. I mean, they're not as skilled as I am, and they don't have the experience I have. But if you want somebody that's, you know, that's just starting out, and then it sounds like it already puts it in their position that it's a diminutive act.
Right.
That it's not something that they want.
Yeah.
You know, and you say, if you want something of value, well, we got to not, I'm not going to do it for $100. That's ridiculous.
Right.
And then if they say no, fine. I can make more money not working than I can. Like, just sitting, creating something like this is more value than $100 for an hour of juggling, which is right. ridiculous.
Yeah. So let's dig deeper into, so that's a whole, I think that's like a whole different theme of
sure.
those, things, which is super valuable, as I've been talking to more and more performers of just like of how bad most of them, or most of us, I guess, are at initially doing that. And I think it takes time to get better, just that business sense. What is it that I want to touch on that thing of how you talked about like Amazon and Tesla, like on the brink of complete failure, even though people are like, oh, they're dominating the world. Right. Yeah, but they're just spending more money to get there.
It's called a burn rate. I mean, are you familiar?
Yeah.
They always, if you ever watch Shark Tank or any right. of these, there's a podcast called The Pitch. They go, what's your burn rate? And it's X amount of dollars per day. And the wife and I, when we came to LA, we had a burn rate of like, we had credit, and we had amazing credit because we would always pay our stuff back. But we had a burn rate every day. Like, we're spending X amount of dollars every yeah. day until money starts coming in, you know? And then how do you get over that? Because pragmatic people will always say, no debt. You know, what are you doing? And yet these same pragmatic people are like, you got to get a college education to something to fall back on. And then they acquire $100,000 in college debt.
Right.
You know, it's like, what is it? Is it debt or not debt? I want to be serious, though. If your burn rate is you sitting on the couch playing Mario Kart, hoping somebody magically calls you up for a show.
Yeah.
Your burn rate is going to go to the point where you can't pay it back and nothing's going to happen. You know, you every day you have to be looking in, how can I make money? What showcases can I go to? What auditions can I go to? What people can I interact with? This is why I got involved way back in the day with people like Scott and so many different creative types, that then you know what the scene is and whatever your particular field is. So it is a active forward progression of your career. And you can't just be sitting around playing Mario Kart or Fortnite for the kids. And I did get the daughter and I did get in Fortnite the other day, the Insta Fort, which was fantastic. It's one of these things that you have you played Fortnite
no.
ever?
No.
It's very exciting, but it's a thing that you find, and they're very rare. That all of a sudden, if you're in a place where somebody's going to kill you, all these other people on this island, you just activate it, and it builds you an automatic fort. It's very gratifying. We've only had it once in like probably 100 games of Fortnite that we play.
Nice. So.
That was a little digression about all the Fortnite fans out there.
Yeah, now we have a bigger audience.
I know.
A way bigger
audience.
It's a
audience. Rage. Yeah. I didn't realize how huge it was because we just found it and we were like, we're going to play Fortnite. And then all I now read is like, Fortnite's going to Switch. Fortnite's doing this.
Yeah.
How do they make money? It's by people, because it's free for us, but we don't buy the mod skins where you can actually buy stuff. You know, Fortnite, I'm sure, had a burn rate. And then they had an idea.
Yeah, and maybe that relates into it. I wanted to kind of talk about that. How you earlier you said like that gradual like just progress, and that's a key thing of like we see so many things like a video game blow up or a person blow up that we just how did they get this TV show or this commercial or whatever it is, and then what we often don't see, and this has been a theme of this, is like. That moving to LA with $40,000 of credit card debt and then slowly chipping away, like showing up every day. And then relating to that, like kind of tying in all the things that you just talked about with, you know, showing, going showcases, doing open mics, doing free shows, and then not sitting around playing video games all day, but like putting yourself in front of those people. And then also be willing to have that burn rate of like, hey, I'm doing this. And then that, again, going back to what you said, the arrogance almost, or maybe it's almost in a way of ignorance that you're just like, well, I'm just too stupid to know that this is insane. And then you just keep assuming that it's going to work, and then it works. Why? What's the difference? So there's a lot of people who feel that they're like, oh, well, it'll just work, but then it doesn't work. Because they don't do the action. They're sitting around.
Let's pause you right there because we got to dissect that statement. They don't do the action.
Right.
That is exactly it. That is it. I think we can stop the show right now. They don't do the action. As long as I've known Chris, you have this whole career as a juggler and a performer and a magician and all these things that you do, but then you also want to create other stuff, help other people create. Every day you're doing the action, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing, is doing the action, you know? The wife right now is working on a novel, you know, because she's also a voiceover artist, doing tons of stuff. But she wants to, when she's not doing a voiceover, when she's not working, she wants to do the action. And that's working on the novel. You know, that's what I try. If I'm not working on a show, I'm at the gym. And for the life of me, everyone knows I spin a cheeseburger on a parasol. And then the other day I figured out I can throw the cheeseburger in the air, do a full 360 pirouette, and then catch it again. It's not ready for the show yet. I've been doing this for so many years. I just discovered something new. I did the action. I'm always trying to discover new things. And if you're not discovering new things, and that could be in your marketing, that could be in your connections, your interpersonal connections with other people that can help you get further along. That could be in your action with your partner being either business partner or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, your family. You've got to do the action to have a positive result. Isn't that true?
That's great. That's the progress, and that's what it all is. And that's why we're sitting here for people listening to audio. We're in my living room, which is now the podcast studio, and there's cameras set up. I don't have a camera person, so it's like there's tripods there, and I have all. There could be these excuses of not to make me the hero, but like I have those things too. I'm like, well, I can't do this unless I have, because I see people that I like their podcast. There's four people working. There's more people behind the scenes than there are on the podcast, just like any TV show or whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't have that. And, you know, so I just like, let's do what we can. I have tripods and hit the button. And now it's like, you know, all these things, but it comes down to the action.
I dig the movie Tangerine, and it was shot on an iPhone 5C, I think.
Yeah.
And because the guy said, we don't have money for anything. Okay, what do we got? And he had an iPhone in his hand. And then there was this anamorphic lens. I think it's like Moondog, I think is the company that makes it, so it makes it look like film.
Yeah.
And I've watched the movie, and it looks like film. It's amazing. Shot on. They probably had like a Tascam sound thing and a boom mic. They probably had a crew of like five.
Yeah.
You're challenging me right now. Here's my action.
And
I'm going to put forth a challenge to myself that I have to make like a short film, just me with my iPhone, as this summer I'm going to like 100 shows in like 90 days. Of every day shooting part of me traveling or whatever, throw it on my computer, edit it up, and then just release it as this little short of my travels.
Yeah.
As a one person thing. You can do it.
Yeah.
You know, think about all the YouTube stars out there. And trust me, I'm not a fan of all of them. In fact, a lot of them, I'm like, how is this interesting? How is this funny? My daughter loves it and I don't get it.
Yeah.
But these people, they took an action.
Yeah.
And this is the best time of ever to take an action. You know, really, with a small amount of debt, you can create this whole studio right here.
Yeah.
Small amount of debt. It used to be to rent a camera was like $30,000, $40,000,
$50,000. Right.
You know, you can get a badass camera for like a grand, and you could even use your iPhone if you want.
Yeah.
And make content.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to tie it all up, and I think we just did the summary, but let's tie this all up. And then so we're doing a new thing also for the people that are listening and watching. We're doing a bonus video audio section. It's going to be on the Patreon thing, so I'll talk more about that after we finish this. But to tie this part up, can we have 1 minute of... I'm going to call this, I don't know if I just made this up, but it's going to be called the Memeable Minute.
The Memeable Minute?
Yes. So it's like something that can be posted on, Michael Rayner's Memeable Minute that can be on a thing, and it's going to be this take-home message that the people that are listening, whether it's on the Take Action or Take the Risk, what's your Memeable Minute? You have 1 minute starting now.
Let's tie it all up with assumptions. You're always assuming you're not good enough. You're always assuming you're not great enough. You're always assuming all these things. They all might be true. But fake yourself. Fake it till you make it. Fake it. Believe you are these things. But then analyze. Look at all the things you do. How are you unique from everybody else that's in your field? Listen, Chris is a better juggler than I. I know that. You know that. We all know that. But I figured out other stuff. I spin a cheeseburger on a parasol. I balance audience shoes. I figured out something that I could do that was unique in my field, even though I look at all the amazing jugglers. Juggling Josh, Ivan Pacell, they're phenomenal. Scott Neri. How can I be different from them and be unique to myself and still have a show? That's what you got to do. Figure out how you have your own uniqueness. Make the assumption you are good enough.
And that's the end of the show. Thank you so much to Michael Rayner for joining and sharing amazing stuff. Thank you to you for listening. And if you want to hear more, we continue the conversation in more depth. But you gotta head over to patreon.com/betweendreams, where you can find out how you can listen to the bonus content. Every week we have guests on the main episode, and then we go deeper into conversation for our Patreon community. So go over there, check that out. If you dig what I'm into and what I do, you can check out my book called Just Go. Search it on Amazon. It might change your life, or you'll enjoy reading it. I don't know. You can also check out BetweenDreamsClothing.com. Grab a t-shirt, which also helps to support this show. You can find these podcasts on YouTube as well. Search my personal YouTube page, Chris Ruggiero, and you can watch us talk. And sometimes there's bonus video stuff on there as well. So tell a friend about the show, and if you want to support, do one of the things that I just said to do. That's it. Thank you, and goodbye.